Returning God's Word tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 7. First Samuel 7, we'll read the entire chapter. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, and there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Thus far we read God's word. The text tonight is verse 12. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. At the end of another year, we pause for a moment to look back. As you look back upon this past year, what do you see? What has happened in your life? For some, things have gone smoothly. For others, there's been hardship. For some, there's been sickness. There's been pain like they've never had before. For others, there's been the sorrow of death. For others, maybe financial difficulties and hardships like they've not had in the past. Struggles in family and in the home that caused great heartache and hardship that brought us to tears. But what we have to consider tonight is how we are to look back at these things and the many other things that have happened to us in this life. The faith that is given to us as a gift of God enables us to look back in a right way at those things that have happened to us. The faith that we have does not give to us some kind of spiritual amnesia so that we are able to forget everything that's happened. We don't forget those things that have happened. But what faith does is it gives to us, you might say, spiritual 20/20 vision so that we see what's happened in the past in a right way and with the right perspective. And that right perspective is the perspective of the Word of God that we consider tonight, so that we can say with Samuel, no matter what has happened to us individually, no matter what has happened to us in our homes, no matter what has happened to us as a congregation, we know this: hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The truth that we consider in the text tonight rises to the top no matter what hardships we have had in this past year. We have before us an enduring truth, a truth that does not change. And the truth essentially is this: in all of life, Jehovah is faithful. We say tonight at the end of another year, great is thy faithfulness. That essentially is the word that is before us, that Jehovah himself is faithful. Do you see that as you look back tonight? Do you see what great things he has done for you? Do you see what great things that he has done for the church? That must be our focus. Because so easily we can convince ourselves that we do have a right focus and yet our focus is off. And many times where our focus goes off is the focus becomes essentially ourselves. The things that I've gone through. The things that I've endured. And others don't understand that. Well, maybe others don't, but there is one who does. And that's the point. We must not be about ourselves tonight, but we must be about God and His great glory, because He is the one who is always faithful. That's the truth that we consider tonight as we look at this stone that Samuel set up at this certain period in the history of Israel and named it Ebenezer and said as explanation of this stone, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So we look tonight at Ebenezer, remembering Jehovah's constant help. That's our theme tonight. Ebenezer, remembering Jehovah's constant help. We look at the momentous event when this stone was raised and why Samuel then brought this truth before God's people. We look secondly then at the central message of this stone of Ebenezer. And then finally, we look at the future hope that this gives to us. The text here speaks of Jehovah's help. Samuel acknowledges the help that Jehovah had given to the people of Israel. He did that by setting up a memorial stone between, as the text says, Mizpah and Shen. We don't know exactly where that place is between Mizpah and Shen. Probably between the city of Mizpah and the land of the Philistines. At a place where the Israelites finally stopped chasing the Israelites and killing them as Jehovah gave to them that great victory. There, Samuel set up a memorial stone and called it Ebenezer to commemorate the victory that Jehovah gave to his people. And what a victory it was. It was a victory worthy of such a memorial stone. There are other times in Israel's history when such stones of memorial were set up. Remember that when the people of Israel crossed the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, Joshua commanded the people, representatives of each of the 12 tribes, to grab a stone and to take that stone and place it in the middle of the river. And they piled those stones up so that that might be a memorial of what Jehovah had done and bringing them into the land of Canaan. Now you have a similar idea here in the text, that a stone is set up as a remembrance of what Jehovah had done. That the people of Israel might remember the great and the powerful and the gracious work of Jehovah at this particular time. So Samuel set up a stone. Maybe it was a boulder. Maybe it was a slab of granite. Maybe it was polished marble. The word itself doesn't tell us what kind of stone that it was. But the stone commemorated this, Jehovah's help. The name Ebenezer means stone of help or rock of help. Eben is the Hebrew word for stone or rock, and Ezer is the Hebrew word for help. So that's the idea of the name. And it focuses on Jehovah's help. Now we must have a right understanding right from the beginning of this idea of help. This help of which the text speaks is not like the help that a parent gives to a child when he or she needs help with their homework. When a parent kind of leads a little bit, puts them in the right direction, and they do the work themselves. That's not the help of which we're speaking here. No, this help is the sovereign, saving, supernatural help of Almighty God, of Jehovah Himself. This help in the end is God's grace. God's grace. So that this stone is a memorial of the powerful, saving grace of God. This is why this stone was set up. It was to remember what Jehovah had done. And now there were two events that were to be remembered by the setting up of this stone that Samuel named Ebenezer. This stone, first of all, commemorated the sovereign, supernatural, powerful work of God in changing the hearts of the people of Israel so that they repented of their sinfulness. And secondly, this stone was set up to commemorate God's powerful work in delivering Israel from the great and mighty army of the Philistines. Those two things. And so those are the two things that we look at. First of all, Jehovah brought Israel to repentance. That's a striking thing when you understand the history that went before this. The history of Israel before this was a sad and a dark history spiritually. That's because when Samuel is on the scene here, he's at the end of that period of the judges. And you remember that period. Children, you remember what happened in that period. There was a cycle that kept repeating itself. The children of Israel sinned. They served idols. They followed in all kinds of ungodliness and unrighteousness. Jehovah was angry with His people. And so He sent an enemy to bother them. Sometimes for decades they bothered the people of Israel and were under their control. And then the people would be moved by the Spirit to repent of their sins, and they cried out to Jehovah for help and for deliverance. And Jehovah then would send that deliverer, a judge, to deliver them from that enemy. And then that judge would die, and that cycle would start all over again. The people of Israel would sin. They'd repent, and God would send another judge. Well, that was the history here as well. There were 20 years here of a sad and dark history that followed from the ungodly leadership of Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Remember, those two sons used the priesthood for their own selfish gain. And when they were going out to fight against the Philistines and they were losing in the battle, they decided one day that they would take the Ark of the Covenant out of the Holy of Holies and bring it out into the battlefield, hoping that that would give to them the victory over their enemy. In their thinking, the presence of the Ark of the Covenant would guarantee them victory, but that didn't happen, did it? Instead, the Ark of the Covenant was captured. Hophni and Phinehas died in the battle. And there was no victory for the people of Israel. But God did not allow His ark to remain in the hand of the Philistines. Remember how God brought it back? The Ark of the Covenant was in the temple of the idol god Dagon, and Dagon at night fell down before the ark. Then God made the people of that city sick, and many of them died as well. Finally, the Philistines had had enough, and they sent the Ark of the Covenant back to the land of Israel on a cart. And the city to which it returned, and this is what you have recorded in Samuel 6, is the city of Beth Shemesh. And the men of Beth Shemesh, when they saw that the Ark came, they did sacrifice to God, and they were overjoyed at the return of the Ark, but still, what they did indicates that they did not have a proper awe and reverence for the holy God. They looked into the ark. And because they looked into the ark, God killed over 50,000 of the people of that city. So from that time on, 20 years passed when the ark remained in that house of a man named Abinadab. And during that 20 years, the Philistines tortured Israel. During that 20 years, the people of Israel continued to serve and worship idol gods. For 20 years, there was spiritual coldness and complacency in the land of Israel. But it was in that sad and dark time when Jehovah God performed a powerful work when He changed the hearts of the people of Israel. We read of that in the first verses of chapter 7. At the end of verse 2, we read, "And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And so then Samuel spoke to them in verse 3. And he said unto them, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." And that's exactly what the people did. We read in verse 4. "Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only." Jehovah God had performed a great and mighty work here. He turned Israel from her sins. He brought them to repentance for their sins. He broke the hardness of their hearts so that they no longer served idol gods. Their hearts were softened. And this stone, Ebenezer, commemorated this work of Jehovah God. For it's after this that Samuel calls the people to come to that place called Mizpah. And there the people did repent of their sins before God. We see here then, as the people of Israel, that this stone Ebenezer was for the people of Israel to look back and to see the faithfulness of Jehovah in bringing them to repentance. This rock, Ebenezer, speaks to us tonight. And it reminds us at the end of this year of what Jehovah has worked in us. It reminds us of His powerful, saving, sovereign help. It reminds us that we are sinners who are saved by grace. We're reminded that He is the God who has brought us to repentance for our sins. He's done that in different ways in our midst. For some of us, in this past year, it was a year of holding on to sins. We're trying to hide and cover our sins, those sins in which we were walking. But Jehovah God chiseled away the strongholds of those sins. He did that by a great and powerful work, sometimes bringing us very low in the course of that, being downcast in the knowledge of our own sins. But our sins were brought out into the light, and God used that so that we were brought to repentance for those sins. For others of us, it was maybe not so dramatic, but yet a powerful work of God nonetheless. For children, adults, elderly in the church as well, for all of us, that when we sinned, and the Word of God came to us and showed us our sins, and we saw our sins, that we repented, we confessed. We confessed sins to each other. We confessed sins to God, all because of God's sovereign grace. Tonight, we remember that as we look back, that there's been a wonderful work in our midst, a work of repentance that Jehovah God has worked. This year can be characterized, you might say, in two ways in that regard. Two ways that go together. First, it was a year marked by sin. It was. Every year is for us.
It was also a year marked by grace. Powerful, saving grace. Because that's the work of Jehovah. He does not allow His people to continue walking in the ways of sin. He sends His Word. He chastises. He turns from sin. And so tonight we give thanks for that. We give thanks for that in our homes. We give thanks for that within the church. We give thanks for that individually in our own lives. That God in the past, by His sovereign grace, has worked true repentance in us. Now in that regard too, some of us may hurt because we have loved ones who are walking in ways of sin and they're not turning from their sins. Well, we trust in Jehovah's grace that He's able to turn them if that is His will. Maybe others of us are holding on to our sins yet. And God speaks to us tonight and says, repent of those sins. Do not continue in that way. Confess your sin and turn away from that sin. Stop walking in it as the people of Israel did. Repent. Not only that, but Samuel also, as he speaks this word at the occasion of Ebenezer and that stone being set up, this stone of Ebenezer pointed the people to the amazing victory that Jehovah won over the Philistines. And what a victory that was. The people of Israel, you see, were gathered together at the city of Mizpah. And the Philistines interpreted that as a coming together to prepare for battle against them. The Philistines saw this as a military move. They saw this as a consolidation of forces in preparation for battle. So the Philistines gathered their army together and they went to Mizpah and they were ready to attack the people of Israel. And they did. Now think about that for a moment. Here the people are at Mizpah. They're on their knees. They see the greatness of their sin against Jehovah God. Jehovah God has brought them to repentance. They're crying out for the mercy of God. And at that very moment, Jehovah God sends the enemy. And the enemy attacks. Because, of course, Jehovah God, He's sovereign over everything. He is in control of this too. And the question we might have is, why did He do it? Why at this time did that happen? Well, there was a reason for that. So that in this too, as Jehovah gave to them the victory, which they could not accomplish themselves, that they would see this beautiful truth that's revealed in the text, that Jehovah is the one who helps His people. He does this to strengthen their faith in Him, to teach them that their help is found alone in the name of Jehovah. And so at that moment, the enemy attacks, but at that very moment as well, Jehovah gives the victory. We read of that victory in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 7. There we read, "And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel." A great and mighty storm breaks out there at Mizpah. There are bolts of lightning, there are torrents of rain, great claps of thunder, and Jehovah strikes terror in the hearts of the Philistines. And they retreat, and the people of Israel follow, and there's a great slaughter that follows as well. They had not done the fighting. Jehovah God had given to them the victory. This speaks powerfully to us too tonight. As we look back upon the past year and see the troubles and difficulties of life, and maybe there were times where we thought, why at this moment, why at this time did Jehovah bring this upon me? Maybe in fact, it was in the time when you were on your knees repenting of sin you had committed against God and you've been living in, and there were still consequences for that. It seemed as if you were being beaten up by those things that were happening. And that question follows, why? Why at this time? Maybe that was true with other things that happened in life. There was sickness, financial burdens, death, hardships in family and in home. But the reason is that Jehovah was showing this great and mighty truth. He is the God who helps us. His grace is always sufficient. He shows that He has a purpose in those things, as He did with the people of Israel, to show the great victory that He accomplishes. What's the great victory that He accomplishes through hardship in our lives? Well, He says in His Word, I do this all for your good. I do this all for your good. In the end, this is all working for the great victory that you have in heavenly glory. That's what the Apostle Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 4 at the very end of that chapter, when he says that these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The point is that the afflictions of this life cannot compare to the weight, to the greatness, the awesomeness of glory that is to come. But it's more than that. The things of this life are working to prepare and make me ready to mold and to shape me for that heavenly life. That's what God was doing this past year. That's the work of His grace. That's the help we commemorate tonight. Preparation for heavenly glory. It was all for that. It was all for that. None of it was worthless. It all has a purpose. That beautiful truth. And He teaches us through all of that then, He alone is our help. So as the people of Israel commemorated what Jehovah did there at that stone that was named Ebenezer, this stone then had a clear message for God's people then and still today. It was a permanent reminder to God's people of Jehovah's faithfulness. This is the central message of that stone, Ebenezer. As I said, that stone, that name Ebenezer means rock or stone of strength. And Samuel explains what that means exactly at the end of the text. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. First of all, we must notice why a stone was used here. That's significant. This rock, this stone, stands for Jehovah Himself. It stands for the blessed truth that He is the rock of our salvation. It's not just a nice inference or something nice that to point out, but that's the truth of the Word of God. If you go back in the book of 1 Samuel, you read it there. Hannah confesses this in her prayer before Jehovah God in 1 Samuel 2, verse 2. When she says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. God is like a rock," she says. That's a familiar idea that you find as well in the Psalms. We sang a couple of Psalms tonight that refer to that. You have that in Psalm 61, which says in verse 2, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That rock is Jehovah God Himself. You read of that as well in Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 15. "To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." This is further revealed in the New Testament, as the New Testament reveals that Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. Just to point out one passage, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. In 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul looks back at the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness, and that water that came out of a rock. And then we read in verse 4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." The rock of our salvation is Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone of the church. He's the solid foundation of our own lives. Now the figure of a rock here, that's found even in the name Ebenezer, sends the message of truth that is permanent, unchanging, immovable, and completely stable in our lives, no matter what happens. That stable, immovable, unchanging truth is this: Jehovah helped us. Throughout this year, all kinds of things changed for us.
Things didn't go as we expected them to go. But throughout this past year, there is one unchanging truth that gave us strength and cared for us throughout this past year. No matter what happened, Jehovah helped us. This truth is our rock. And that's the truth before us in the text. And this truth is our rock because of who Jehovah is. He is Jehovah. That's the covenant name of God. He is the I am that I am. Those words themselves indicate that Jehovah is unchangeable. He's unchangeable in His covenant love for His people. He is unchanging in what He accomplishes powerfully and completely in all things. He is the God who perfectly accomplishes His purposes. And this name indicates that He is the covenant-keeping God. He is the God who always helps His people. He is the God who helps His people individually and His church unto the very end. You see, by establishing His covenant with us, Jehovah has made an everlasting commitment to be our God, and that we will be His people. Do you understand what a commitment that is? Can you fathom that? He's committed to you, and He's committed to me. He's committed to all of His people. And you know what the Bible says about us? We're like a whore, a whorish woman. That's who God is committed to. And in this, He shows that He doesn't change. He doesn't change in His love for His people. He doesn't change in His mercy and His grace for His people. That's why He will always be the helper of His church and of His people. So that's our confession tonight as well. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. This God is our God. Forever and ever, He will be our guide, even unto death. This is Jehovah, who will never remove His favor and love from us. That's the message of Ebenezer, this rock of help. There's something else that we must understand and must be brought out as we look at that central message of Ebenezer. And that's that word, hitherto. We shouldn't skip over that word. Maybe a word not so familiar to us. We wonder maybe what that means exactly. It means this. It means up to this point. So read that there in your Bibles as you look at the text. Hitherto, or up to this point, hath the Lord, hath Jehovah, helped us. What that means is that the help of Jehovah was always there in the past. Now, I could understand if Samuel, when he speaks here, says, finally the Lord has helped us this once, or this time the Lord has helped us. Maybe we would think that as we look back at this history, and the people of Israel might think that too, that for a long period of time the Lord had turned His back on them. For 20 years He had turned His back on them and given little thought to them. Now finally He turns His face toward them and He's favorable to them and He loves them. But that's not the idea that you have here. Samuel, as he speaks the truth of the Word of God, says, hitherto, up to this point, has Jehovah helped us. The idea is that Samuel is looking back as far as he can remember, as far as he can think. And he says, in all of that time, the Lord has helped us. Whatever happened in the past, Jehovah has helped us. Make it specific. Samuel saying, when they were serving idols, even then, Jehovah was helping us. When they were brought low by the Philistines, even then, Jehovah was helping them. When they were on their knees repenting, then certainly, Jehovah was helping them. Always He was helping them. And it didn't just extend to that 20-year period. It didn't just extend to the period of the judges, which in many ways was a sad history, but really not. Because in the end, God's grace overcame. It was all about God's grace. And in that sense, it's a glorious period of the grace of God. But sad from the point of view of sin, of course. But always, Jehovah was faithful to them. And that goes all the way back in the history of His people. And today, too, it goes all the way back. We see that Jehovah has been faithful. His grace and His favor has always been present. So that's the Word of God to us tonight, too. Always, always, the Lord has helped us. What do you see tonight when you look back? What do you see tonight as you scan the events of this past year? Sometimes it happens, maybe we're so busy we don't take the time to look back. That's something that's common in the world today. You have it in the newspapers and the news magazines and all the rest. They take a look back at the events of this past year. But one thing's lacking in all of that, a biblical perspective. That's the world and what they do. But tonight, let's look back too. Before you go to bed tonight, reflect a bit on the past. Reflect on your homes. Reflect on the things that God has done. There are certain things that we, of course, see. We see that our children have grown maybe an inch or two in the past year. They've matured somewhat in the past year. We see those things, of course. There's some things maybe we'd rather just as soon forget. There's some days maybe we have forgotten, but when we start thinking about it, there were those days. Days when we were at our wits' end. Days in which we were struggling. Days in which we were stressed. Days in which we were burdened. We maybe hid that from others, but our hearts were heavy. What do you see as you scan not only this past year, but as you scan your life, whether you're 85 or 35 or 15 years old? Well, we see valleys and mountains. We see sunshine and we see days of darkness. We find days when we barely were able to make it, so it seemed. But don't forget this. Do you see the sovereign, loving care of Jehovah helping you every step of the way? Let us tonight see that. Jehovah's faithfulness to us. He is always faithful. The text tonight declares the faithfulness of our God. I heard in the prelude tonight, the hymn being played, "Great is thy faithfulness." What beautiful words. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be." He's faithful, and He is unchanging. Can you find one time in your life, one time, when Jehovah was not faithful? Absolutely not. And that's what faith clings to as we look back. We see the faithfulness of Jehovah, especially when we look to the cross. When we look what our Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. That's the very foundation of knowing the faithfulness of Jehovah our God. There we see His faithfulness to us. He gave His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And His Son gave His life for us. That's faithfulness. And this Lord does not cast off His people. That's what we see by faith. Only faith can rightly interpret the events of the past and see the mighty hand of God. Now, as we look back and see that faithfulness of Jehovah, we also take a peek forward. You see, the past is always important for us to look at spiritually, to have a right perspective as we go forward. That was true for the people of Israel too. They weren't to remain in the past. They weren't to think only about the past. They weren't to stay right there at Mizpah. No, they had to go on leading their lives, out of the knowledge of what they had been taught there at Ebenezer, at that rock, as they saw the great victory that Jehovah had worked in them and for them over the Philistines. They were to go forward in that knowledge. And so that's true for us as well. We do not know what will happen in the future. We don't know what the new year will bring. We do not know what troubles or afflictions lie ahead for us. That's good. Thanks be to God, we don't know all that. We don't need to know those things, in fact. There's only one thing we do need to know. The faithfulness of Jehovah. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Well, as we go forward, let us see that and be assured of this, that Jehovah is faithful and He will continue to be faithful. He will continue pouring out His grace upon us, grace even for grace. He will continue to give us that grace in this new year. This grace will carry us through this new year. And in the knowledge of that, then, let us go forward, trusting in Him. Let us go forward strong to serve Him, strong in the power of His grace that He gives us to turn from sin and to walk in newness of life. Tonight, of course, we look back and we see our faithful God. Do you see Him tonight? Do you see your sure helper? It's not about Ebenezer. It's not just seeing that rock. It's seeing Jehovah. We see Him tonight. We see Him in all of His beauty as the God of grace to us. We see Him as our faithful helper. We see Him as our great Jehovah. Now let us go forward with strong faith, knowing that He will protect us and help us and guide us until in the end we're brought to His side in heavenly glory. What a wonderful day that will be. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we praise Thee. And we confess, hitherto hath Jehovah helped us. We thank Thee, Father, for setting this before our eyes tonight. We needed this. We need this confidence. We need this strength. And may this truth carry us through in this new year. It's easy, Father, for us to be focused on ourselves in a way that we ought not to be. Give us grace, Father, that day by day we may be focused upon Thee and that we may see and know Thy faithfulness as that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. And may that give us strength. May that give us contentment in this past year so that we don't say like the world, we just want to forget it all. We don't want it erased from our memories because it's in the way of those hardships that we have seen that Thou art our helper. So strengthen us in that knowledge. We ask, Father, for Thy blessing upon us tonight. As we look back, keep us safe and guide us. Bless us in our discussions as well, in our fellowship with each other. And bring us back here in the morning, refreshed and ready again, to worship Thee and to begin a new year by hearing Thy word. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.